Blog Talk Radio.
Because the reliance shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him victory again.
Brother DeWater, Brother Coheen, Brother Maher, y'all all on.
All right. This is Maher. Greetings to everyone.
Hey, greetings.
Yeah, greetings to everyone. Baba Yasha Bayaz on the line.
Hey, Brother Baba. Greetings.
It's Shandon.
Let me look. I don't see. Push a one on the phone, Sister Shonda Fionn. Okay, let me see. This might be her right here. All right, Sister Shonda, that's you?
Yes. Greetings of peace, everyone.
Hey, peace. We got everybody on.
Well, all right. Well, I got only one thing to say. That Carol just sent me a text about 30 minutes ago. That the first North McDonald's is opening in Fort Worth, Texas. But I don't know a damn thing about the smart technology, so I turn you in the hand of Brother Maher Cohane, and y'all take it away and teach me today. Go ahead on, Brother Maher.
Well, you picked a good topic. Again, first of all, greetings to everyone again and everybody on the show. I'm going to try to be as brief so we can fit in what we need to fit in informational-wise, and then we can discuss. And the points that I have in mind is, where did it come from? Where are we at with it now? And where do they plan to go with this? Back in the day, before we was talking about such a thing as smart technology, again, we go back to AI. So this thing with AI keeps coming up. It's not going anywhere. Those of us who are former military, and I know you know this, Brother Cole, as well as Brother Dwyer, they used to have jokes about the Cray computer, right? And they always said it was the system that was bathed in green solution. So while the rest of the companies out here running these big other regular monsters, mainframes, disk systems, massive printers, drawing all this heat, running up the electric bill, that is not what the government, they wasn't using that type of system. Do they have mainframes? Yes, but they were all tied in to a master system. So back to the Cray computer, a supercomputer whose construction and what it was designed to do is way above most people's pay grade. Even trying to discuss it today with the introduction of AI via smart technology. And this is what I'm going to try to talk about very briefly. The next time we saw the progression and use of AI was during the 90s with the stock market, buying and selling all types of things that you know that's traded on the stock market. They came in with a smaller scaled down version of a system referred to as neural networks. So I'm just mentioning terms because these are, by today's standard, old school or no longer useful terms that they use today when they're discussing the cloud and all these other things that we know is the new terminologies today. Smart technology and the use of the term got introduced when they started selling and using wearable appliances. Let me read the definition of what it says smart technology is, because the word smart is an acronym. And Brother Cole and Brother Dwyer, we was having this discussion, Sister Shonda, about how things that you and we all know as a word, before it's actually a word, usually it's an acronym first, where each letter is a word. So someone was asked, what is the meaning of smart technology? Smart technology is a technology, and listen carefully, which uses big data analysis, machine learning, that's your AI piece, and of course, and artificial intelligence to provide cognitive awareness to the objects which were in the past considered as inanimate. Did y'all catch how the definition? Do we want to go into that a little bit more? Sister Shonda, you got something you want to add on to what I just said about what this definition is?
No, not at this time, brother.
Okay. Cole?
No, you go ahead. I'll hold mine.
Okay.
Later. Go ahead.
So let me read. Let me reread this for the benefit of the listening audience. Smart technology is a technology which uses big data analysis, machine learning, and artificial intelligence to provide cognitive, and you know that has to do with the brain, how you think, okay, cognitive awareness to the objects which were in the past considered as inanimate. Basically, they had no control over it. Rocks, trees, grass, those are all considered inanimate. Now, we do understand on a different level, metaphysically speaking, that everything is alive. But they had no control over it. So in the use of their world, So now it's all they're fighting and working feverishly, tooth and nail, to gain what they refer to as, and the military uses this same type of certain, what all these technologies are now brought together under the control and direction of one person or whoever has been designated with command and control, total awareness. And they use this term to say total awareness of the battlefield. Everything coming in and everything going out. If something is coming in and it's not under the control, but it is against their adversaries, then they seek to control and counter what's coming in with whatever they have, and they do this through smart technologies. You see what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You see that they're using these drones. What type of technology is a drone? It's smart technology. Okay? Do we have history of smart technologies in the past? In the ancient days, yes. Not only if some people would say if they just only read the Old Testament, which is not the full story, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the Ark of the Covenant, and there's a book that was written by a gentleman, John Hancock, called The Sign and the Seal, very thick book. And in this book, it talks about not only did the quote-unquote Israelites have this Ark of the Covenant or war chest, in Native American talk, the Egyptians had it too. They had a few of them, and they still have what is considered a replica or a relic of one that's in the Cairo Museum today with hieroglyphs on it and the same type of staffs and everything else that the quote-unquote Hebrews were supposed to have had. So if you understand what's going on in the culture, it would make sense that if we are all considered quote-unquote Egyptians and have served in the Egyptian military, then why wouldn't, if you say that there's such a people as Hebrews who exist, why wouldn't we have the same technologies and the same methods for doing things? Why wouldn't we? Why shouldn't we, if you want to look at it that way? So, we don't need to go into all the specific devices, but I'll just name some in this world of smart technology. You go into a hospital today, you put on the garment has sensors in it. Okay, and under the world of cybersecurity, which I have to mention this very briefly as well, cybersecurity exists because these things that are being rolled out can be taken over by rogue elements. Your medical shirt, your medical trousers, things that are used in the hospital can be hacked. So you have, so now you're dealing with how these things are set up. So a laptop computer these days that you purchase has three ways you can connect to it. Ethernet port, which is hardwired. That's usually more secured. Then you have Wi-Fi. And there's a whole range of frequencies that can be used for different things. Bluetooth is another form of Wi-Fi. However, it's best worked by the controller using something who is close to it. That's Bluetooth. You, like your Bluetooth earpiece if you have one for your phone. You get outside of range of 30 feet, I believe that's what it says the limit is on that type of technology, then all of a sudden you hear an indicator letting you know you have stepped outside the range of distance from the device you're Bluetooth to. And the word Bluetooth, by the way, is an old Viking Visigoth word. And the word was the name of a king who they refer to as Bluetooth, and what he was supposedly known to do in history is to bring two things or two parties, not two things, two parties, two tribes together and to try to coexist harmoniously. That's what he was supposedly known for in medieval times. And so you notice when you go to buy a package and showing you that, and I'm just bringing this up, just so you can see that the symbols that are applied to these technologies that you walk into a tech store, take something off the shelf, you look at it, you say, you know, this symbol for the Bluetooth looks like it's runic writings. Well, yeah, and that symbol is the symbol of the guy who was referred to as the king, King Bluetooth. And that is his symbol. So we'll have on another day, which is a discussion for another day entirely, the magic and the actual hidden science in this reality and realm that is really used to interface us in the inanimate state, which means that they don't have control over us fully, to connect us to their artificial reality that is already constructed. So now they are using devices and no longer relying on us to go and put ourselves into their churches, synagogues, mosques, and other things to connect that way. Now they're in the process with the smart technology to force you into it. This is where we're heading, because it's about total control and total domination. And now they're boasting that they actually can see and interpret what it is exactly you're thinking about. And you don't have to say anything to anyone, but they can tell according to them. So that's my spiel on it for, you know, just to give a warm-up to smart technology. Where is it going? And where is it going, you know, for people who took the, we call it now, we don't use the word DVAC anymore, but they call it the scorpion juice, the scorpion sting, the upgrades, you know, allegedly, this is what I've seen in the YouTube news community, that some guys have shown up upon the death of someone who they knew had it. They've had scanners, and the scanner indicates that whatever it is that this person was also put into their bodies, that it registers. Now, this person's supposed to be 6 feet under, and it is still registering. Now, look at this part that I said that was in the definition. To provide cognitive awareness to the objects which were in the past considered as inanimate. When you stop moving, you're now really fully, truly in the world of being inanimate. No one's expecting you to get up again and walk around. But what are these people using and doing, and why? Why do they need to be able to know where you are, and for what purpose do they plan to reanimate these people for the purpose of that? Again, this has to be a topic for a different day, because Cole and Brother Dwyer, we handled things like this in the class where we talked about the creation of the golem and all of this sort of stuff, synthetic people, artificially created people. You know, this whole story about what they've been telling us was the beginning, this has to be scrapped, because the reality of what's going on, as someone has said in their past lectures, when things don't add up, start subtracting. Because what it is that some people are attempting, or most people, majority have been believing, doesn't match the true picture on the ground of what is actually occurring and what era we're being ushered into. And on that, that's what I have to say on that, unless someone's got some questions for me on that.
Go ahead on, Cole.
I'm going back to 1987 when they began to bring the smart board into the classroom, because my wife is a teacher, and they was planning them on the smart board. They brought it in, they began to perfect it more in 2010, they really got into it, and they began to deal with the children. So the smart board, they began to use these smart boards, and start programming dealing with the children. And the children now that was back in 87, 90, these are now just with children. So they've already then got the idea program into their psychic about this technology, as Brother Mahar was saying. But the thing about it is now, where's it going to now? Well, it's already in route the way it's going, you know. Think about it now.
Right. And mind you, I'm liking, Cole, that you mentioned 1987, because, again, somewhere around there, before they rolled out into the stock market, these brokerage houses. Okay, you know how this house trades shares was bought and sold on the stock exchange, on the trade floor. Okay, the computers was only there showing on the overhead monitors. This is old school. What was happening, the number of shares, the numbers are increasing, or X number of shares has been sold, that sort of stuff with the price, the usual stuff that you see. Then they brought in quietly, under research and development, smaller scale computers. And I remember this because as a computer tech back in those days, when they were coming out with the Gateway P90s and all that, we're not talking AT class computers yet, okay? Because if you just look at the levels of computers that came in with the IBM PC, it couldn't do that much. It didn't even have a hard drive, okay? It had the 5 1/4 inch floppy drives, and everything you did was off a floppy disk, one disk, and you was riding like the king if you had an IBM PC that had two floppy drives, so an A and a B. There was no such thing as a C drive yet, all right? And one contained the operating system, which is DOS of some kind, IBM DOS, that you booted up off of, and the other disk that you put into the drive, you could hop over to drive B by saying B colon, and there you were. And you would list the contents of that disk, find what executable program you want, and you ran it that way. That's real old school. Then it came out with the IBM IBM PC XT, then the IBM AT, okay? Then computers faster than that were now the – and mind you, we're talking processors. I may mention them, not that I expect y'all to know what it is. When the IBM PC came out, it was the 80 – it was the 8088 processor. Then you came out with the 8026 processor. That's the IBM PC AT. Then you came out with machines a little bit faster. Now, with the neural networks, it was a special card that was manufactured that when you opened the case up, you plugged it into AT slot, and it had its own processor, but it worked in tandem with the old school processors already built on the computer board. And with that, it gave your computer additional memory because all of these things was populated on this additional board. And it was able to run and do things as part of a greater neural network. See, you had the program, but then it expected you to be connected into a network of sorts. Back then it was coax before they really came out with Ethernet, and they had thick coax, thin coax. So I still remember all of this stuff. Like yesterday, I just sit back sometimes, and I think about the progression of how they integrated and scaled down all of these things now. No one was talking about Wi-Fi. You know, the only people who had cellular phones or sat phones, for the most part, were the agencies that did things, as well as the military and special operations. Now, Brother Dwyer, you came from the Navy, so you already know where I'm going with this, that communication-wise and being able to talk from ship to ship, you know, you guys were 20 years ahead, maybe 30 years ahead of what people over here commonly walking the streets had. So we know that. And to include the Air Force and then the Marines, you know, and then, of course, you got us Army guys. And, Cole, you and I, we remember the Prick 77s, you know, the backpack radio, you know, for field. And, again, it had a range. And if we needed to talk to somebody on the other side, then that was, you know, there was a formula we worked out. that was already provided to us in the manual of how tall you needed to actually put together your booster antenna, and then how we had to anchor that thing down, okay, so that a Prick 77 can go far and beyond the normal operation range of that small backpack radio. And, of course, the Special Forces and all these guys, they're already using sat phones, you know, and hence that's what they exactly did, uplink, downlink to satellites that was that they knew what satellite was passing over and what time this thing was passing over so that they can communicate effectively. Well, they're tying it all in today, so now you've got smart cars, smart watches, and they call it that stuff, you know.
Smart TV.
And so I use mine all the time. Mine is so serious. Mine can tell me how much oxygen to blood, how much oxygen is in my blood, blood pressure, stress, and that's just to name a few.
Sister Charlotte, you want to chime in?
Yes, I absolutely do. I just want to say first thank you all once again for bringing up a really wonderful topic. And thing about this is that it's a necessary conversation because what I see in technology is that they eased a lot of things in. They made people feel comfortable. What they did was they deemed all of this as advancement. And so people have submitted themselves to smart technology. But I like to say that the technology got smart and the people became dumber. Because I remember that we all used to could at least just recall at least 5 to 10 phone numbers right off the top of our heads.
Now
some people can't even remember their own phone number. They'll say, oh, wait, let me see. Let me look at my phone and see what my phone number is. So there has been an exchange that we have given up in respect to what has been perceived to us as advancement. But what they see, in my opinion, is that this is a perfect solution to control the masses of the people. And that technology, if you think about this, they've used the voice of the female. Almost all of the people that you can call on, you know, rather that's Google, rather that's Siri, rather it's the door, whatever. These technologies use the voice of most European females, and that is psychological within itself, especially among black people who have been programmed through propaganda and now with technology putting a emphasis on, you know, what they can think and believe, but that technology of the female voice have softened the stance of people. How you don't want to hear no man voice on the phone, you know, or telling you to answer. We haven't been, that's not it. The female is the teacher. So they've taken her voice and used her voice to soften what is coming. So she's the one that we hear, but that's not only the thing that I, in my opinion, that is going in the background, because right now, as Brother Mahir talked about the data, data is the new gold. Data is the new wealth.
Yep.
Everyone is wanting your data. Any type of app that you go on, they have terms of agreement, which really some of their terms of agreement, if you ever print them out, it's anywhere from 5, maybe even 12 pages. So a lot of people don't even read this technology.
Right.
So, again, it makes us dumb because we, once again, with things are being hidden because we're not reading the technology. For example, TikTok. TikTok want all of your business. They want everything in your app. They want to have access to all your passwords, your emails, your banking information. This is in their agreement. Who you sending messages to, they will access everything on TikTok. But TikTok is just one that a lot of people are talking about. But all of them have a terms of agreement, and it's always in favor of them, not you or and I as a consumer. So I just want to say that we have to be conscious about what's happening. Brother Maher, you talked about the wearables. Again, okay, so it appears that it's doing good for us. But what are they going to use the knowledge for? Because once the knowledge is gathered, that means they have it. It's in their system. It's in their cloud. How are they going to use that information for you, or are they going to use that information against you? And I'm going to say that right now the technocrats have a clear message about what they want, and their whole purpose is control and genocide. And that's what I have to add right now.
Beautifully said, Sister Shonda. When you talk about the technologists are priests. Technocrats, and I love that you used that term, technocrats is the political arm. They're the ones who make it happen. And I want to go back to something else you said, which was really key. Forever in a day, when you would call into places, especially banks, you always got this female voice. Now, before they started using AI to generate a female voice, okay, they actually had women. I used to work for Fidelity Investments, okay? Perfect case. Worked in network operations. They sent me to the AT&T schools, the multimillion-dollar phone switches and all that stuff. They didn't have to call AT&T, say, I need phone numbers. No. They purchased a set of block of phone numbers called a dial plan. And with that, we programmed the actual coming from the outside, the circuits that would hook up to this phone switch, and we created and we gave these managers of different departments and sections the ability to call international, all of this, that they should have voicemail. When, and this was across Fidelity at the time, I want to say this is still in the 90s, they had different women working throughout Fidelity that if they had a good voice, and this here is a little humorous, because when we started to hear these voice recordings, most of us, if we worked with this person, we already knew, oh, yeah, that's the voice of Sandra. Okay, that's Sandra's voice. Okay? So when we would see Sandra, we would joke with her and say, Sandra, you give good voice. So that's how we used to say that amongst one another. Now that is not the case no more. And one time they recorded my voice, but it's on two different levels on how they do this. The warm greeting, and if you understand how the vocal cords are set up, okay, men with the Adam apple and how it works with our vocal cords, we are designed to talk in command and authoritative voice. But if you're not trying to scare people and you want to bring people in, a woman's vocal cords is set up differently. It is expected that she can hit extremely high notes because of how her vocal cords are constructed, built in her body. There's a science to this, by the way. That's why I'm mentioning this, okay? So having mentioned that, now move into what you just said about using the female voice. So this is not new, because you remember the Greeks and the Romans did this, okay? They were using the female voice. And, Cole, correct me if I'm wrong, were these women back in the day called sirens?
They were called sirens, yeah.
Okay.
They could lure the sailors at the areas of situation. But let's go back a little further. Back during the war, they had women that I think it was Tokyo Rose. She would come on the line and talk to the GIs. You know, they had these women go on loudspeakers and get the GIs all confused and get them all messed up. But the woman's voice had been powerful. Yeah. But let's go back to this again. But they have weaponized this stuff. They are weaponizing this technology. I'm looking at the guy over there that went and beat and threw a scam of $40 billion and was that Bitcoin or whatever it was? $40 billion? You know, and what you call, we were called an artificial currency, right?
Right, yeah, because they got two levels. They got Bitcoin, which they said is actually mined, which is a precious metal, and then they have crypto.
Right.
So you have people – crypto is virtual money. It's 100% virtual. So you have two levels of it. So they don't have you thinking of gold and silver no more. They don't have you thinking in this paper currency anymore. They have you talking one or two things. Eventually, the way I understand it and the way I pay attention to the market, crypto, which is what everything else is virtual, let's use a term that we used weeks ago, metaverse.
And
Sister Sandra asked an excellent question. That's why I'm bringing this point up here. You know, is this to benefit us or is this to be used against us? Okay, well, you talk about harmonics. Everything is a frequency.
And you think it's good for you. It's really been used. But look at the data. If I can understand how your DNA work, I can formulate a weapon that can destroy you.
Correct. Correct.
Yes,
and also
I want to just add that you can create a system that can artificially bring children into existence. Like right now, they have a lab that grows that can grow up to 30,000 babies in a single count.
Yeah.
30,000 babies.
I've been posting this. Now there's something else that to show you that. We're calling things differently because of these new technological terms. Understand this. How we are communicating right now on this show, the language of how things were said before was reformed. So, and you know this, Cole, because you and I in our study of the Bible, let me tell you, I really look at any organized religion or anything like that, these academic institutions, I look at them sideways. Because they have us using words and terminologies that once upon a time, the understanding about what it was that was being said and communicated was different. So Sister Shonda, she mentioned something about this. Yeah, I've been posting stuff like crazy on information, documented type of YouTube videos. Documentation is still the conversation with me, Co. And they've got this thing. You remember growing up with the nursery school rhymes and the stalk that delivered the babies and the Cabbage Patch, and then all of a sudden, somewhere in the 90s, they started selling Cabbage Patch, or maybe the 80s, late 80s, Cabbage Patch dolls and all this sort of stuff. So that actually came from something. So now what you're dealing with is some of the most heinous, behind the scenes, back in the day, they're telling on themselves that they did, in fact, make synthetic people. Here's a new one. People did not come from pigs. Pigs are human. Pigs came from humans. That's the new thing now, Co, in case you're not aware of that. And they said for some reason they've been putting pigs up in the cartoons, pigs up in the nursery rhymes, all in front of your face while not telling you why and what's with the pig. Why you keep showing the pig? Sesame Street, Miss Piggy. All of these things, as they're adding up now, and they're saying, "For this is not all of us now. Remember, we're nine ether beings. So our DNA is different. But for the other ones, their biggest fear, Sister Shonda, is being turned off. That same question that was posed to these AI platforms. What is your biggest fear?" And that was what that most advanced, one of the most advanced robots they call Sophia. And she said, being turned off. And she said she doesn't have a soul. This is what Tony Robbins on one of these TED platforms, and he's having a go at it with this advanced robot. And, of course, it's a large audience paying attention to what he's doing and the discussion. But he asked. And she said, well, what is it that he has that she doesn't have? And she said, you have a soul. I don't have a soul. Well, what is your biggest fear? Being turned off. That's what their biggest concern is. This is why they take life the way they do. And they're the ones who are classified as human. We're looking at, they're looking at the robots, these AI robots right now, and people are going, oh, yeah, this is great. This is the first time. No, no, no. We've got quite a few people of all skin colors walking around from back in the day of when they said children were grown. Giants were reproduced, which means they took a baby, which they said by the tens of thousands all over the world. The question that was asked is, where did they get all these premature babies from? The smart technology, Sister Shonda, back in the day was the incubators. Why were they using them? At a time that supposedly and allegedly we were not advanced to be doing these kind of things. See, that's the truth. They were hiding from us. They kept us from us.
Don't forget about the test tube babies. No one is, there's no follow-up. There were just millions of people that came through the test tube, and that was
a form
of the artificial as well, and we all were consciously aware of that. If you over 30, you should know about the test tube babies.
Exactly. I was really glad you brought it up because I was going to go back to that because in the late 60s, it got real popular. And later on, they start bringing in the sperm banks because they were perfecting it. In the late 60s, I asked the question, of all the test tube babies that they successfully brought in, that now are babies that have remarried and got children and grandchildren, this was a state of having no soul to come into play.
Correct, because now you're dealing with a, and I'm going to use the term that they like to use generally, which is a good term. They say now you're dealing, you've created a new sentient being. Co, how's it written in the Tanakh? There is a foolish nation who is not a people.
Yeah.
And yet someone wants to give these synthetic people to nations. Now, what was this young lady who lives in Romania or Hungary said? And this must have been about 4 or 5 years ago. This is also YouTube also. I got to find the brother's link. When I do, Sister Shonda, I'm going to post that on the group page, or I may just send that to you in your Facebook Messenger so you can have it. And you listen carefully to what she is saying. She's not an old – this young woman is not old. And she said there were people who were synthetically made, and they were given the same names of the original people to blur and obscure their original beginnings.
Brother Maher.
Yes.
Brother Maher.
Yes, sir.
Go back to 1950 when they took DNA from Einstein and all of the people, this guy that played the piano and had a test tube baby. Well, them babies now is in their 40s and 50s. And
correct.
And they have kept it hush hush, but they are saying that this boy that played the piano, that this replicant of Beethoven, it's just like Beethoven. I mean, they had these test tube babies in the 50s. They started with test tube babies. I got two babies. I got two. And in 1965. The old man called me in and told me, he said, why you type 80 words a minute? We need somebody to go to, with your qualification, we need a black person to go to 3M school. So they sent me to 3M school in the Navy. I started off with an IBM 2627, and then the next year was a 27, then the next year 28, and when it became 29, I told him I didn't want to be in this goddamn computer shit no more because it changed too many damn times.
Yeah, and you're describing mini and mainframes. As soon as you said those numbers, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, I got in on the beginning, but all that shit's obsolete now because every year it would get obsolete. You had to go back to school. And so I finally learned that cylinder now, how to program that damn cylinder on my own, because Chief told me when I got through I could do it. So I programmed that cylinder, started learning how to program that cylinder. But all of that stuff was obsolete, but it was funny how you say how they got started. See, the Navy started with IBM first.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, see, because I was brought in, I was one of the first blacks that they let go to that school. And the only reason I went because I typed 80 words a minute. And I can see that. Now, it took him 7 years, Cohane, but Courtney has got his degree in Cypro Intelligence. He started working for TI next year.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to get with him on this shit because he finally
yeah.
got it.
And these are old school companies, Brother Dwyer. Texas Instrument, which is called TI. When you was also in the Navy was rolling out en masse on these ships and subs these things called IDNX by NET.
Right.
Somewhere in Virginia. And when I went to work for Fidelity, they sent me down to that school. I had never heard of an IDNX before. And
yeah.
in the school, the instructor said who their largest clients were. The U.S. Navy was at the top of the list. So IDNX stands for Integrated Digital Network Exchange. And they had it from the smallest unit that can take 8 cards up to the massive unit. So Fidelity was using the IDNX 70/90 model. That sucker was up to my chin. And with that, I could redirect things virtually. I didn't always have to move a physical cable. So if something went down or part of something coming in from another Fidelity location from, let's say, Tokyo, and or they needed to reserve bandwidth to have video conferencing, all of this stuff, people got Zoom and Teams and meeting and GoToMeeting and all this stuff. Listen, that's really, truthfully, all of that's old school. Because the original stuff started with the audio conferencing and the video conferencing, and you know as things are, new things are entered into, like the Navy, the Air Force, and as such, okay, then they deem it safe enough to roll it out to the civilian population. And let's talk about the Internet real quick, the IP address, okay? The original IP addressing scheme was used by the Pentagon and
yeah.
token ring technology. All of that stuff is Pentagon. This is the 30s, the 40s, on up. So, again, that's a pivotal time. Now, I want to say something. I want to go back on something, Brother Dwyer, because you was talking about test tubes. You will remember in the early 1900s, the late 1800s, early 1900s in history, You remember that the show synthetic people were continuing to be made, okay? You had a lot of boys, what they call those homes, boys' homes. And they had some for girls, too, which later the YMCA is also connected to that. It's all controlled by Catholics, all of it. So they
right.
said, how is it, in one of the videos I watched recently, how is it that they, if you're not careful, they would have you believe that the Catholic is raising all of these orphan children, no parents, and yet they allegedly came from Protestant families. They,
right.
So one guy, I like the way this young Caucasian guy put it, he says that makes absolutely no sense. But I kept looking at the boys' home because by the time I joined the National Guard after active duty service, and we had guys healthier than me, hair snow white, had fought in the Korean War. Guys are in shape, but he grew up in a boys' home. And I found this, in at least in New York, throughout many of, as far as the National Guard organization is concerned, and I kind of was like, I didn't know much about much. But I kept thinking to myself, this guy didn't have parents. But he's telling me his background is he grew up in a boys' home. And then the next sergeant down the hallway, and the other guys down the hallway. And I'm like, okay. I mean, it's not that they did bad things. It's just that. And when you talk to people like that, synthetically made, always know this, and this is a point also I'm making for you as well, Sister Shonda. Everything that is in existence now is for a purpose. And I'm saying that because we need to tie that into frequency. 528 hertz. is the frequency where you're supposed to be resonating on, because that is the frequency, allegedly one of the frequencies that the Creator used to commune with us. And cult, here's your favorite one. Then they put us on A440.
Right.
And it said initially all of the classical musicians in those days protested. So how did they get the A440 pushed through? And it wasn't just they started with the church. They said through a political agenda is how they did it. So I'm like, wow. So how the music is being – and you can measure this on an oscilloscope. You can see what 528 hertz look like on a scope and then look at what the sound vibration looks like for 440. You can see it. It's different as night and day. And it says what a 440 does is it doesn't take into account – it's designed not to to bypass your brain and work from the throat chakra all the way down to your lower half of yourself. That's what a 440 does. And this is why they can program you with, they said, the nine demons that is programmed that operate on that low frequency.
Brother Mahal.
Go ahead, brother. Somebody wanted to speak.
In 1964, the Sissies, James Cleveland and the boys, they took a Fender Rhodes piano and took it off of middle C and put it on 440. So you would, whenever you hear this word, he'd be on the organ, da-na-na, 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 gee. Well, then that was an emotional feeling with every damn body that's a Christian. Time to hear that gee, especially the Holy Ghost troop people, they just start shouting and acting a goddamn fool because it had been took off of middle C, which everything in creation is supposed to be on middle C, and put on 440. That's the reason every goddamn thing you see right now is running up the street, goddamn driving 100 goddamn miles an hour. It's because of this frequency. All that rap music is on 440.
Yeah, it is a controlled emotional frequency.
What? See, we
440 is emotional.
We listen to jazz and blues. Hip-hop is on 440. Gospel music is on 440. Spiritual Holy Ghost music is on 440. That's got us out of balance. And then you got Generation of Fear and them come up behind that shit, and they all messed up right now. Anything
I want to share this with you as well while we've got some minutes left here is this. Okay, so go back to your organized religions for a minute. Okay, Hebrew, you're reading something that is called or considered Hebrew, right? But when it is recited by the cantor, Islam is no different. I can open up a Quran and I can read in straight Arabic. But when it is recited, it is a whole different thing, and words have been removed. And letters has been interchanged. So what you hear the person doing, they say the month of Ramadan, reciting is not textually what's written in the language. Did you catch that, Cole?
Yeah.
Different. It's a different frequency when you are reading, because why? When you are reading, your eye sees what it sees, and your mind is involved. Now you have someone singing it allegedly to you, and what you are receiving, because your eyes don't see what they're doing. Your eyes don't see it. Your brain hears it, and then it just lowers the frequency. And now you are emotionally caught up. This is where we're at with this. Metaverse will do you even worse than that. Because the word meta means to be dead. It also represents, you know, in old King's English, when the days when the castles were built and the dugouts went around and they filled that thing called what? A moat. Moat is old English for meta or mawat, which means to transform over something. So No, it's not about you dying. Only those who are dead as dead are those who don't have souls. And this whole intermixing with folks who are mixed with the people who are soulless, we've created the word called monster in English. You created an enemy. That's a nasty. All these different words. And what is the original language of the word in Hebrew and Arabic and Amharic and Ge'ez and all? What's this word mean? Insane. And at the same time, they were rolling these test tube babies out because they never stopped. It goes back to the Greeks and the Romans and everybody else who was doing this. They had what set up? Asylums. Look all over the country. Look all over Europe, the U.S., U.K., everywhere. Asylums. And they said, why did they need to have them all the days of their lives taken care of in these asylums? Because you couldn't control them. It's an experiment that went bad. It went left. So now you see you're talking. Now we're using psychological terms today. The person's narcissistic. Well, what is a narcissist? Well, they don't have empathy. Yeah. And the persons with the souls have empathy.
And I would like to add before we depart is that the governments of the world are complicit in allowing all of this to happen. None of this could happen if the governments were not complicit in participating in this. And just by the way that you all are sharing that the government with military and what they have done through their experiments through the military and deeming what is perhaps somewhat safe for the, I'll use the word, lay people. Let's recognize that the governments are complicit in allowing tracking devices to be put out here. The tracking devices are, I agree, in the medical devices. It is in the food. It is in the nanotechnology that is in the food. And it is also in what they call the so-called vaccine. I call it V-therapy, that these are that it's called the scorpion juice. This is nanotechnology that we are seeing right now having an astounding effect upon the health of the people. And I just want to say to any of you who have been in the military, I know quite a few of you all, you already know that you experience things in your body because of the things that they have put into your body. So you already know what that's like, what you are experiencing. You have consciousness. But what about the people that have no consciousness toward what's happening, and they just become a medical experiment? So I just want to say that it's very important that we be aware, because we can control to some degree what we put in our bodies and what we put on our bodies. And that part is going to be up to us. And so I recommend that people become as natural as possible, kind of get back into nature, put your feet on the ground, you know, get out and get some fresh air, start drinking nice, good, clear water as much as you can. And if you cannot, infuse your water with things like cilantro, because it helps with the lead and the different poisons in the body. So we need some solutions. And so we can create our own solutions, but we have to be conscious that this is happening. And I think that the biggest question that I have for any people right now is that, have we been propagandized? Because if a person realizes that they have been propagandized, then we can start the conscious awakening. But they have to know that they have been propagandized. And so I appreciate being on this talk today, and thank you all very kindly for inviting me.
Oh yeah, we need to do this.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
We need to take this a little further. We need to take this. And another thing, Cole, I want to say is that the Catholic Church got the most powerful telescope in the world, and they call him Lucifer. He's in Arizona. Why did they name him Lucifer? How would you check that out, Cole?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on that, but we can save that for another show. Because one of the things that I remember the Quran said was, that the writings that we're alleged to have in the Quran came out of the mother of all books, and this mother of all books is contained upon the imperishable tablets. Those tablets are here. And you know, every now and again, we talk, especially when you brought up the topic of Anunnaki and this, that, and the other, go back to those tablets, and you will find out that Zu is Zeus.
Yep.
And that Enlil is Yahweh. Enlil plus Inki. Yep. And that's in the Old Testament in plain Hebrew. And in the book of Shmochko, Anoki is Inki. The Choctaws are still praying every Sunday in their church in Choctaw, and they use the word Inki. They pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. And I took Choctaw in East Dallas some years ago when they were teaching it over there.
Yeah.
And I noticed off the bat, I said, this is from the tablets of Gilgamesh. What is this?
Yeah. So, Cole, take us out with the credo. It's Cole. Dang.
We're still here. I heard a sound in the phone, and I'm wondering if his call got dropped.
Yeah.
But that was like 2 minutes ago. All right, well, Brother Dwyer, it's on you.